This morning, we're taking our last week just as a total of looking at money and how that it affects our lives. Next week, we'll be looking at missions. It's a week of prayer for Lottie Moon Christmas offering, so we'll be looking a little bit that next week. But I want us to look at a text this morning that deals with our heart attitude and that really reveals our heart as we look at our money within our life. Jesus deals with this. We shared with you 2 or 3 weeks ago. That the one thing we find about Jesus and his teaching is the subject that he speaks on the most is money. Why do you think that is? Because it really reveals our heart. And Jesus is once again on the Sermon on the Mount dealing with that issue in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, and we're going to go through 24 this morning. Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." As we look at this text, we understand that Jesus is dealing with that issue that nobody wants to think about. And as a matter of fact, we wish that we could not have to think about it, but it is so key to our lives. I don't know about you. Has anybody spent any money over the last weekend? Anybody broke? All right, I understand. All right. I had, how many girls did I take Black Friday shopping? I think 5. Debbie stayed in bed. All right, you know who the intelligent one is. All right, we got that straightened out and settled. All right, and had a good time. And doing that, really did. And but man, as we go through this time of year, there's so much money that gets spent, and we've really got to look at where our heart is concerning that money and how that we deal with money within our life. You know, Jesus here, he is looking at our heart, and he's saying, "Who are you serving? Who are you serving?" Think about it. When you think about money, when you think about the resources that you have, what are you using them for? You see, Jesus is trying to get us to understand the sake of the kingdom. We live in a world that's just so very materialistic. I mean, we think about it in the types of homes that we live in, the type of vehicles that we drive, the kind of gadgets that we have, and just on and on and on. You go into a Christian bookstore, and you would think that the goal of the Christian life is to make money. And that's not it. As a matter of fact, you would go into a Christian bookstore in some places and you would look in some spot and you would think that it would say that we are trying to make money your God. It's an issue that is just key within each of our lives. Ron Blue, he's a Christian counselor, and I may have referred to this first message. I went and tried to look in my notes and I didn't have it there, so I may have spoken and didn't have it in my notes. But if I did, forgive me, I've got a little bit more detail of the story. But Ron Blue, he's a Christian financial counselor. And he shared about one time he was visiting in a small rural village in Africa. He said he asked a native there what was the biggest problem facing his village. And to his shock, the man said, "Materialism." He said Ron was stunned. He thought it'd be the lack of food or the need for doctors or perhaps war with neighboring villages. How could it be materialism? He says these villagers didn't have cars, television, satellite dishes, not even homes. This villager said, "Ron, if a man has a mud hut, he wants one that's made out of cow manure. I guess that's better. If he has a cow manure hut, he wants a stone hut. If he has a thatch roof, he wants a tin roof. If he has 1 acre, he wants two. Then he said this, materialism is a disease of the heart. It has nothing to do with where you live. Amen. It really is. It doesn't matter. If that's what our heart is, that we're always wanting the next thing and the best and all of that stuff and getting better and better. And for the sake, as we looked at a couple of weeks ago, of just having more monies to be able to build up more storage bins, to be able to put the more money in and just hoard it and hoard it and hoard it. You notice within this passage of Scripture that what the Lord is trying to do is get you to understand where that you really store your wealth. As we looked at the rich man that wanted salvation, or the rich man that wanted to store up all of his money, his life was required of him in that parable immediately. We could probably go around here and we could talk to you about all the people that you know over the years that have retired and within a few months have died after they retired. Anybody known those folks? Yeah, we all do. All right, it happens. And the question is, the wonder is where have you stored your wealth? When people die and they've stored up and planned for retirement and they die, what do you think that they wish after they wake up in eternity? Have you ever thought about that? Man, I've worked all my life and I don't get to use it. Huh? What could they have done? Could they have sent it ahead? Boy, it got quiet in here. Huh? You see, that's what the question is. See, the Lord is not calling us to not store up treasures, but he's saying, where are you going to store the treasures up at? Are they on this side or on the side in eternity that will last you forever and forever and forever and forever and forever? That you make investments for eternity that will have benefit in other people's lives and in your life forever. One thing everybody does, or most people don't like about investing, is you've got to save. And you save money and you don't spend it now looking forward to being able to use it. Folks, you think about the greatest investment plan that there is in the world is heaven. Is that an amen statement? It really is. And that we send it ahead and we invest it. Now, I've got two different ways to illustrate this, and I'm trying to decide who to embarrass. George and I have had this running joke with Greg about peas. All right? How much you like peas? He does not like peas. We have kidded him off and on for years about peas. Is there any reason that you would eat peas? Cash. I could get him to eat something that he just cannot stand for a short period of time if the investment was worth it. All right? But you see, the short period of time, you know, I wouldn't make him eat peas for the, maybe I might just once a week, you know, you eat your cup of peas and we'll give you your money, all right? We'd do something like that, I don't know. But it is just short term, like our life in eternity. Do you understand how short this life really is? Now, I mean, I look around here, and there's some folks around here that are, I know one close to 90 or 90. Are you 90, Colleen?
No.
Been around for a while. Does it go fast?
Yes.
It does. This life goes really fast. And in the scope of eternity, it's like that. 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, it's gone. And we look at it now, you go and talk to investment counselors, and they'll tell you that, you know, you've got to invest for your retirement and things like that. Nothing wrong with that scripturally. We look at that in a little bit. But the key is whatever you invest for this life at death is gone. You hear that? Unless what? You've invested it into eternity. How long does eternity last?
Forever.
Yeah. he'd be willing to eat them stinking peas. No offense to you that like peas. All right? For the reward. You know, so many people say, well, you know, it's just, you know, I serve the Lord because I love him, not for the reward. I'm here to tell you, Scripture tells us to serve for the reward. All right? Because what's going to happen one day, we will be able to lay it at the feet of Jesus and we will be able to worship him forever and forever and forever. But we live our lives focused on the here and the now, investing in the treasury of this earth rather than the treasury of heaven. Do not be careful where you put your wealth. Do not treasure those treasures, the stuff that is here of life. Be cautious about that. And it's so easy. And I don't know about you, but around this time of year, it is one of those times that it's just really difficult as you step back and as we're giving. And I mean, you're hit with Christmas presents and you're hit with, guess what, Lottie Moon coming up and continuing to tithe. So Lottie Moon above the tithe just reminds you of that. And tithing continually within the local New Testament church. It's an expensive time of year. But where should your treasure be? For eternity, those things that will last. Now, it's not wrong for us to have money. Scripture tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19, he says, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to serve, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. There are some that have been blessed, and as we looked at a couple of weeks ago, everyone within the United States of America has been truly blessed. We have been blessed by so much financially. And so much, many times, what we want to do is we want to hoard it up for this side rather than sending it ahead. Nothing wrong with possessing possessions. It's when those possessions possess you. Folks, I'm here to tell you, we've got to look at our hearts as we go through this and we see what's in control of how that we live. Is it our money or is it service to the Lord and giving to him? Larry Burkett, another financial counselor, he wrote about retirement, and he calls it the saving for retirement obsession. Have you heard of that? He said, I never heard of that. Well, listen, he says, retirement planning so dominates the thinking of Christians who have a sizable incomes that they overkill in the area enormously. The fear of doing without in the future causes many Christians to rob God's work on the very funds he has provided. He says these monies are tucked away in retirement accounts for 20 to 40 years. God's word does not prohibit but encourages saving for the future, including retirement. But the example of the rich fool given by the Lord in Luke 12:16 we looked at a couple of weeks ago should be a clear direction that God balances when in doubt, give. Don't hoard. As we said with that message, and we looked at the widow's mite, and we looked at the rich ruler. I mean, opposite extremes of where they are at financially, and always helping us to keep that tension together of where our heart is and where our giving is within the Christian life. You know, what a sad thing it is that people die with retirement money in their account and it gets given to children. Has anybody seen children take retirement money from their parents and it's just gone and nothing flat? I've seen it over and over and over and over and over again. And I've seen it happen whenever that takes place. And I would, if I believe that people could turn over in their grave, mamas and daddies would turn over in their grave because of what took place with the funding. Folks, we see within the Scripture, he calls us to save. He tells us to do that. But most of all, he wants us to see what our money is and how that it affects our heart, what our treasure is, what's important to us. What do you value the most? A.W. Tozer asks these questions. He says, what do you value the most? Then he hones in a little bit more and he says, what would you hate most to lose? Huh? What is it that in your life you would just, you couldn't handle it if you lost it? And I've got one dear friend, he'd worked all of his life. I have no idea what he was worth. And he retired, is put into an investment he thought was a good, solid investment. His daughter helped him into it, very wealthy lady herself. And he lost every dime. What do? Is wealth uncertain? Yeah. Is your trust in it? I hope not. What do you do? What's your treasure? What do you think about? Whenever you have that opportunity to just stop and to think about stuff, where does your thinking go to? Huh? Is it money? Folks, I'm not saying you don't think about money. We have to. There has to be that planning and things about that. What's your concern? Is it the kingdom of God or taking care of your kingdom here? What gives you the most pleasure? Honoring God or building up here? What do you think it'll be like that moment you close your eyes in death? As we read in Proverbs chapter 6, as we opened up the service, the verses 11, it talks about building up and being ready for the time of retirement. We see in Proverbs, in the book of Proverbs, it talks about, go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. All right, what's an ant do? They build up and they work hard getting ready to survive. If it's in a tough climate, they do more preparation. All right? Yes, there's that preparation that takes place, but we keep that tension that is in place, that are we honoring and glorifying God as we build up treasures in eternity? Where's your treasure? He wants us to store up treasures just in the correct place. And seeing our life as the short time that it is, and the investment we make for eternity. So many of us, we're preparing in this life like we will never die. You know what the death rate is? It's 100%. From everybody on this side of the room, all the way across, even up high, down, I hate to tell you, you're going to die. Are you living as if you're not? You say, preacher, that's morbid. No, it's just the truth. Now, folks, I think we take care of ourselves, and we see that within the scriptures, but over and over, Jesus' teaching is, check that balance. See where your heart is. What is your treasure? Are you getting to the point that you are hoarding? Are you getting to that point that everything that you are about is about the life here and now? It is your heart. You see, where your treasure is, there is your heart. You see, within the scripture, he tells us, he says, give, it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use it, will be measured back to you. It's that giving heart. And so many times in our society, we don't have a heart that desires to give. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. What is it? The investment in the kingdom. So many people say, well, you know what? That's talking about getting money here. Well, it may be to a degree, but most of all, it's looking for eternity. And what will take place there? It's interesting in that passage of Scripture. It also tells us that the Lord loves a cheerful giver. You like to give? Man, we love Christmas time. That's the best part, is being able to give to somebody and to spend some time picking those things out and doing those things that people enjoy. And doing it cheerfully. But what about giving to the Lord? Cheerfully. Of our time. And it's that we're giving to Him. And then it's the understanding. We even realize it as believers that He's going to bless us as we give. You see, in the text, He says, calls us to be careful of how that we see our wealth. That good eye and that bad eye. How that you look at it. I know a lot of us around here can't see. If you take these things out or take these things off or the little lenses in your, where'd you go? And, or take those little lenses out and you can't see. All right? I am blind as a stinking bat. All right? And they help me see. And that idea is that whenever we are selfish and we are holding it in, it's as if we can't see clearly. Because we see life through the lens of money. And what we can accumulate for ourselves rather than what we can give in serving to the Lord. A clean heart or a dirty heart? Say, preacher, you've gone from preaching to meddling today. What is the deal? Why? He says it reveals who you are and your heart as you give or you don't. If you're stingy about what God has given to you, where does your money come from? You can say, well, I've worked hard for it. You may have. But still, who granted it to you? The Lord did. You know what? I like to see Samantha every Sunday. She gives me a check. All right. I got paid today. It says Georgetown Southern Baptist Church on the top of it. And if she was nice to me, she signed her name to it. All right. You can ask her about that. She'll love telling you the story. All right. But you're not where the money comes from. You say, preacher, we give. Yeah, you do. But it's from the Lord. It's a gift from the Lord. And so it is with everything. Every blessing comes from the Lord. Folks, I'm here to tell you, it is by the grace of God that you're born in the United States of America, the most prosperous country on the face of the earth. And God has put in our pockets enough money to be able to reach the entire world for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ and to share Christ with people that never have heard the gospel. Right here in the United States of America. Your heart. Now, I don't know about you, but as I read these texts over and over again, it's just like the Lord takes my heart and He is doing it like Play-Doh, just smashing it around. Why? Because it seems to always come up as issues within our life, because money and our stuff is so integral to our lives. That's why I think Jesus teaches on it so much, and there's so much in the Scripture about money. We see within the Scripture that call even for us to tithe. And some people argue if tithe is, if you want to talk about tithing, come back tonight. I'll answer all the questions you want to about is tithing a New Testament principle or not. Folks, I'm here to tell you a tenth is a minimum within the Old Testament. And under the law, guess what? Under the law, it was a minimum of a tenth. I think under grace, that should be a bare minimum is a tenth. Just switching gears real quick. What do you think of a thief? You ever had somebody steal from you? When David was born, Debbie quit teaching. She stayed home for 4 or 5 years with David, and then Michaela, she came along before they got into preschool or kindergarten. I don't remember exactly what it was. And when she did that, We had a shortfall, as you can imagine, and we had to pay for health insurance. So we started delivering the Daily Oklahoman in Seminole, Oklahoma. We got up early in the morning. The alarm would go off at 4:30 or 5, and it was Debbie's paper route. And 90% of the time, she'd say, "Honey, I don't feel like it." I finally caught on. "Honey, you got to get up and do the paper route." All right? But we did that paper route, and we had two newspaper stands. And one Sunday, I had come to realize in one of the paper stands, somebody was putting in money for one paper, and they were taking out a stack of newspapers. You talk about angry. I was so upset. And it wasn't necessarily the money, but over the month, it's about $50, close to probably at least a half, if not a week's worth of groceries for us at the time. And that they were taking that money from us. So, I worked with police chaplaincy. Have I ever told you that? So I set up my own sting, and I caught the dude. I was so stinking mad at this guy because he had the audacity to steal what I had to pay for and to work for. He never did it again. All right. What do you think of the thief? Look at the scripture. It says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you're robbing me. But you say, 'How have we robbed you?' It says, 'In your tithes and your contributions.' You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, saying, 'The Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need.'" Folks, do you hear that? He says, whenever you take that, which is a tithe, and you are robbing God. Think about what it's like when and if someone stole from you. Folks, I'm here to tell you, it all belongs to Him anyway. So why won't you give what He says as what would be a minimum to the Lord? A tithe. And I love this passage. It says, and this is the only time in Scripture He says, put him to the, what? Test. Try it. See if it works. That sounds like a win-win situation. See if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. Now, folks, I'd like to take and tell you, you give your tenth, and God's going to multiply your income by 10%, by 10 times. No. As a matter of fact, it may be a struggle. We know. We've done it. We've seen it. It's been hard sometimes where it was by faith. Our family has written out the check to serve the Lord and to honor the Lord, and we didn't know how we were going to survive as we wrote it. And time after time after time, God provided. We tested Him, and guess what He did? He proved Himself. Try it out. See what God will do. Now, folks, don't be foolish in your spending and things of that nature. You know what? Sometimes, man, you've got to take a look at your budget and make some changes and some cuts and things of that nature. There are things that you're being foolish about spending money on, and you have to cut those things out so that to be obedient. And it's not like what you want to do, but you know what? It's kind of like eating peas. Greg, eating peas. Because what do? It's not for the here and the now. It's looking for the eternal reward and honoring and serving the Lord. Now, are you serving your wealth? Or are you just hoarding it up? Larry Burkett, the same fellow we looked at earlier, he said the materialism is running rampant in the American church. He said Christians are trying to serve the god of mammon or money. He says Christians pay more in interest, 9.8% of their income, and that's an older number, all right, than they give to their church. Southern Baptists give about 2.3% of their income as a whole. He goes on to say a typical congregation of 100 families, 37 families give nothing to their church. And Burkett says in this verse that Christ says the greatest threat to Christianity is not drugs, sex, murder, rape, or even politicians. Well, he's right. The greatest threat is our materialism. The bottom line is, what's our focus on with our money? Is it what can be done for the eternal good? Or for our good right here? A businessman was traveling in Korea. A missionary was showing him around, and he looked over and he saw this man pulling a plow and the other man guiding the plow. This missionary was showing him around, and the missionary said, "You know what, that's a good picture for you to take." And so he gets his camera and he starts to take the picture. And he gets over there and he starts to take the picture, and he said to the missionary, "Those people must be really poor." He said, "Yeah," he said, "they are poor, but last year they had an ox. But then they became Christians. And there was a building program that came up in the little church. And they sold the ox to be able to give it, to be able to build the building for the new Christian church. And they gave their money to the church." And the businessman said, "That must have been some sacrifice." And he said, "They didn't consider it a sacrifice. They considered it a blessing that they had an ox that they could sell to give to the Lord." Amen. Changed his heart. He went back, told his preacher he was going to double everything he was going to give. See, the picture is what's got hold of your heart? You say, "Preacher, you're mashing me up." No, I'm not. It's Jesus' words. His words. What he says. And he's molding and he's squishing and he's turning, seeing what's really there. Where's your heart? Remember in the story of the rich man, he asked, "What must I do to be saved?" And he went through and he kept all the commands. He said, "Now go sell all that you have and give to the poor." And we shared with you in that the issue was not that he was rich and he had to sell. The issue was that his money was his God. And he didn't want to turn from the God of money to the one true God. And he went away very sad. Who do you serve? Who do you serve? Yep, I hit a... Think about it. What consumes your thinking? What's important to you? Is it God or your money? Man, it's an important thing to consider at this time of year. How you use it and how you invest it. For here or for eternity. Maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as Savior. You say, "Preacher, man, you're talking about a lot of different things considering money. Why in the world would I want to come to know Christ whenever I would have to give money?" Folks, I'm here to tell you, it's not a have to. It's a joy that we get to. We do it cheerfully and lovingly, and we desire to because of the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. But we also understand what that sacrifice that was made on our behalf was for. It was because of our sin, and that we've sinned against a holy God, and we deserve hell. But God so loved us that he sent his only son to die on that cross and to shed his blood for us. And today you can come and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, the one that pays the price for your sin. He paid the price of hell on the cross for you. And today you can come and profess Jesus as the Lord, the boss, the master of your life, and as your Savior. Will you come today? You say, "Preacher, I don't know if I can do that." I'll sit down and talk to you, and we'll look at God's Word in more depth and show you what it takes to come to know Christ. It's a simple gift that you receive. Will you come today? Christians, what's God's Word say about your heart? About how it's concerned with how you deal with your money? That's where is your heart today.